The BBC presents My Music, a radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Greetings to you with another edition of My Music, the game that sets in competition on one side Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, and making up the opposing team, John Amis and Frank Muir. Some musical identification first, and a tribute, Ian, to the amateur orchestras of the world, those who play the great masters and sometimes beat them. The lovely thing about that is when the horn player broke down, everybody started singing la 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 and come to his aid. An amateur orchestra from somewhere in Britain, Ian, we won't name them. What were they playing?
Oh, I mean, they weren't that bad. The tune was very recognisable.
I was filled with admiration.
That horn part, I believe, is very, very difficult.
Exactly. Very exposed, as they say.
Yes, very exposed. It's the overture to the Barber of Seville.
That's right, by
Rossini.
Thank you. Yes, a mark to you.
Hearing that horn player, Italian conductor who was once sent to conduct an orchestra, not quite like that, but it wasn't very good, way down somewhere in the provinces in Italy, and they had said to him, Maestro, the horn player is very difficult man. You don't want to get in conflict with the horn player. He's a very dangerous man. He carry a knife, and very easy. you say something to him, he get out of the knife. This was simply because the horn player was very bad, and they thought this would just avoid any sort of confrontation. So they started the rehearsal, and the horn player played rather like that, and the conductor said, No. We start again, very calm, we start again. Three times it started again, and always it was just like that. And finally, he went over to this man and undid his own jacket and put it aside. He said, kill me, but go.
Dennis Norden, some music for you.
Yes, very, very good. Very good. Well, that's nothing, mate. Go and run now. Let's sort of sell it off, you know, I'll get it going.
Dennis, this is a bit of a memory test. A few weeks ago, in this programme, asking you a question about this tune, I told you quite distinctly what it was originally called. Can you remember?
Well, that's not... This is supposed to be exams, not revision. we're going to have to remember that... I've only just keep having to remind myself that it's the... As Ian always says, the Barber of Seville.
Yes.
And I keep saying the Barber of Seville.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it wasn't called Purcell's Trombone. It was Jeremiah Clarke's Trombone. But, you know, don't be offended, Steve, but...
Well.
You know, I don't really pay all that attention to what you say afterwards. if I get it right, good. If I get it wrong, you know,
just,
the hell with it.
You just wait for the compliments for your singing, don't you?
No, I can't remember it.
Well, why don't we give you half a mark for Jeremiah Clarke? Its original title was The Prince of Denmark's March. Mm. And that the version there by, under the name of...
What, Peter Sellers?
Yes, Peter Sellers. Mm. A mark. John Amis, what's this? Piece piece of real Teutonic schmaltz. What is it?
It sounds like a bit of gypsy music, like Brahms or, well, Dvorak, more like, but played Charles Ives fashion, with two orchestras in two different rooms, but too near not to be able to have a schlamozzle.
Somewhere between them, you'll find the person who wrote it. Somewhere between Brahms, Dvorak on the one hand and Ives on the other, in period.
Between Brahms, Dvorak and Ives?
Don't think you know. You?
Mahler.
Pardon?
Mahler.
Mahler.
Oh, Mahler.
Yes,
Mahler.
Yes, yeah. You got it. That whisper came from yourself.
Everybody
Mahler.
Knows
yes,
that.
Which symphony?
First.
Thank you. Yeah. Who held up one finger for Frank?
Lady in brown, yes. Front row on the left. Yes.
Frank.
Thank you, madam.
Frank, which movement?
Third.
Right. Yes. That's right. So giving him the Boy Scouts. The third movement of Mahler's First Symphony. I suppose I can but give you a mark, John. Well, half a mark, right? Half a mark.
Half a mark?
Well, you didn't know which symphony, did you?
Can't it mean?
No. You've been winning altogether too much lately. Frank.
I'll soon put that right.
Frank, a little problem for you. As I ask you to identify the musical instrument being played.
It's the cor anglais. it's always the cor anglais. Come on.
Frank?
It's the news. It's the...
Which instrument was being...
It's the cor.
It's the cor anglais, yes. You have a mark, you see. You said you would, and now you've got a mark. That particular bit, if you heard any of it, comes from the guitar concerto by Rodrigo, Concerto de Aranjuez. I mention it in full because we played another part of it in an earlier programme some weeks ago, and I had an absolute storm of letters from listeners asking what it was. I don't think I've ever had quite so many inquiries about a piece of music in this series as we did about that. Concerto de Aranjuez by the blind Spanish composer Rodrigo. It's from the version by John Williams. Let's move on. Here's a mathematical type of question for you. I have in my home, gentlemen, a grand piano, perfectly ordinary one, full size, but not excessively large or excessively small. See if you can guess how many strings there are on my piano. It's not a trap question, but remember, of course, that there does tend to be more than one string for each note. Ian, how many strings on my piano?
Oh, goodness.
Just a quick...
Well, some of them have got one, yes. The big thick ones down, yes, in the bass, and then right. They tend to have two a bit higher up, and then they have three nearer the top.
That's very true.
There's about 13 notes to the octave... Counting the black notes.
You're going to make a long job of this.
It will. Yeah. You know, I'm. But you know, I'm so far. Yes. Setting out the facts of this. About 104 notes. Now, how do we divide them between one string? I think we'll have about 10 or 12 at the bottom with one. So that's 12, and then we'll have a. About...
I remember I said to the producer, this will just be a quick question.
40, right? Yeah. So we'll have, that's 80. And it's about 242.
242, says Ian. Long last. Dennis, how many...
I don't even know how many strings you've got on your violin, so... I don't know, but whatever it is, if Ian says 242, knowing you, Steve, you're bound to have spares, because you always carry spares. So I would say you've got 250.
250, a prudent type, that's me, with spares. John Amos, how many do you think?
285.
285, yes. And Frank?
He probably hasn't got any at all. The Afghans have been at him. I reckon there's 84 keys, right? I reckon they average out at three, so I say 252.
252. Well, my piano has seven octaves plus three notes. Bottom strings, as Ian said, are single. In the tenor register, there are double strings, then the strings are triple up to the top. The total number is 225. Ian is the nearest with 242. He gets a mark. Over to the studio piano now, and two tunes, or snatches of them, that have a word in common. I might play, for instance, Kind Sir, You Cannot Have the Harp, followed by My Kind of Town, in which case the word in common would be kind. Get the idea?
Oh, yes.
Yes, thank you, Frank. Ian, what's the common word here?
Afternoon of a Fawn,
yes.
Or Phone, and we had Cruising Down the River.
And it,
so that on a summer afternoon, or Sunday, a Sunday afternoon.
So, the key,
so it's the l'après-midi.
Afternoon is the key word, yes, gets you a mark. Dennis, again, one word in common.
Oh, well, it's the Lincolnshire Poacher and the Sorcerer's Apprentice, so the common word is the.
Yes.
Or? There's no sense in making it harder than it is already, I tell you. Yes. When we're down to counting the strings on Steve's piano on a musical program, finding the common words, or I don't know.
As Ian said,
I don't know the words of La Prentice.
As Ian said, when I was born apprentice, and
I see apprentice. Yeah.
Of course, you know that. One mark, John. Here are your two.
Is a sonata.
Yes, which one?
Sonata in G.
No.
Spring.
Yes, yes. Spring and the Spring
and,
Sonata.
Then presumably a spring song by Mendelssohn.
No. Da, bum, 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 bum. From somebody's finale. Now, that's a difficult job because you got the right answer, but you don't know why. But I must give you, it's
cool.
Spring is the key word. It was from Schumann's Spring Symphony.
Uh-huh.
Bum, ba, 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 bum. Frank, again, the common word.
Of night, I gotta go where you are.
Ah,
Chloe!
Yes, yes.
Daphnis and.
Yes, Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe.
And Chloe.
And Chloe the popular, Chloe the popular song. Yes. Halfway mark, leading by one mark at the moment, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. Ooh. How about that? Here are some questions to do with musicals and the musical stage. Ian, who spread joy in the life of a male Cinderella?
Mr. Cinders?
Yes, the show.
That was Bobby Howes, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Bobby
Howes. Spread joy?
Spread a little happiness.
Yes, that's right. Sung to him in the show by...
Miss Binny Hale.
Binny Hale, gets you a mark. Dennis... 246 performances on Broadway would suit me very nicely, but it was the shortest run that Rodgers and Hammerstein ever had. That was with which show, and which novel was it based on? The year was 1955.
Well, I would have said that the shortest running shows in Rodgers and Hammerstein were either Allegro or Me and Juliet, but neither of those were based on novels.
No,
they were
originally...
Oh, it's based on a John Steinbeck novel.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And it was called Pipe Dream.
Pipe Dream and the novel, you know.
I can't remember the name of the novel.
Mark. Yeah. It's based on Steinbeck's Sweet Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Rodgers and Hammerstein were the producer's second choice for that show after Frank Lesser. Helen Trouble was in it.
The nice part about Hammerstein was that when South Pacific was running, it was the greatest success that had ever been known on Broadway because, quite apart from the fact it had this fantastic run of over 2,000 performances, you could not get a ticket. And there are all these sort of stories about You have a fellow saying to Hammerstein, I'm going to have two tickets for your show on my wedding night. And Hammerstein says, when's your wedding night? He says, whenever I can get two tickets for your show. But Hammerstein put a marvellous advertisement in because the praises heaped upon him were from everywhere. And he took a full-page advertisement in Variety in which he listed the shows that had been flops. And these weren't the ones that he'd written with Richard Rodgers, but one he wrote with Jerome Kern, which only went for five nights, and he listed five of those shows, and he put underneath it, I did it before and I can do it again.
John, Alan Paton's book, Cry the Beloved Country, became a musical called Lost in the Stars. It was the last Broadway musical for which composer? Stevens. Don't know.
Not Cole Porter.
No.
Neither Star.
No. This particular composer was a former student of under Engelbert Humperdinck, the composer, I mean, not the singer, and Busoni. He was a pupil of theirs. Any idea, John?
No.
It was the last Broadway musical, Lost in the Stars, by Kurt Weill.
Every prospect pleases, and only Kurt
Weill. Actually, Kurt Weill sent a famous telegram once to Walter Houston, who was under consideration for the show that September Song was in. And he sent a telegram to Walter Houston saying, telegram, what is your range? And Houston wired back, I have no range. Turned out to be true, but yet what a marvellous job he made of September Song. Frank, who washed her hair 1,925 times?
Originally, South Pacific, of course,
yes.
The nurse, Nellie, Flatbush, Forbush,
yes.
From Flatbush,
yes.
And it's played originally by Mary Martin.
Yes, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair, yes.
And see him on his way.
Here are some duets, rather varied in musical style, but duets nonetheless. Ian Wallace, it is Act Two. The scene is Venice. The hero's friend, as she is rather charmingly described, and a courtesan sing together. Wipe that smug smile off your face. The question, what are their names?
I didn't think it was going to be as easy as that. the part that I was smiling at was that I knew it was Tales of Hoffmann.
Yes.
And it was the Barcarolle,
yes,
sung by a courtesan and the hero's friend.
Oh, you knew that, did you?
Well, you told me that.
Yes, I know. Their names in the opera or the names of the real singers, either would do. You'd never guess who the real singers are, I think.
Well, I wasn't sort of listening to it with that amount.
You know the characters' names?
Oh, was one of them Giulietta?
Yes, that's one mark out of two. And
I've forgotten the other.
The other one's a golfer.
Niklaus.
Yes, Niklaus. Niklaus. One and a half out of two, why not? The singers, Montserrat Caballé and Shirley Verrett, there. Because it was a difficult one, so one and a half. Dennis Norden, the scene is an American city. Two young men are feeling groovy.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
And off they go down the street. Dennis, what's the name of the street?
Oh, you rotten. That's really rotten. I thought I had that one there. Because that's Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes, that's right. But do you remember the title of the song? Because that'll give you the name
I
of the
thought
street.
It was called Feeling Groovy. That's right. That's how I think of it mentally, if I ever do think of it. I can't remember the name of the
street. I can't help you, can I? It's 59th Street Bridge Song. John, time you had an easy one. soprano and a contralto, recorded this together in 1945.
Soprano sounds to be like a marvellous soprano, Margaret Ritchie.
No.
Oh, give him a point. I mean,
no, but well, you got the lower voice, did you? No. You don't know this record. I thought you'd know the record. It's a very, very famous one indeed. Frank, can you help?
Is it Kathleen Ferrier?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kathleen Ferrier was one, and the upper voice. They sang a lot together.
It wasn't you, was it?
No.
I'm compelled to give you one mark after two and ask the audience. Thank you. Isabel Bailey, it was. Let's also ask the audience who the pianist was. Thank you, Gerald Moore. If it were anybody else, I wouldn't be asking, would I? Except perhaps Ivor Newton. Frank, again, part of a duet. Who are the two people concerned?
These silly words like
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes, well done, you said it.
It couldn't be, could it, something from Mary Poppins?
Yeah, good deed, yes.
No.
Yes, you're getting better all the time.
In which case, the Julie Andrews.
Thank you.
And the ripe English voice of David Tomlinson.
That's right. Two marks to your side and bully for you.
I'm one of the four people in the world who haven't seen that film.
Five.
Six.
Any advance on six, audience? Here's our closing round for this week, a singing round in which we take Ian last and begin with Dennis. All these songs have something or other to do with giving. Dennis, can you pick this up, please, when I stop?
No. Kind of despair has set in. I haven't the faint. Damn it.
You take the high road. I'll take
the low road and trouble and strife. Does something and greedy. But yes, indeedy, I'll take the simple. Give me the simple.
Yes,
life.
You missed the nicest bit. You take the high road, I'll take the low road, free from all care and strife.
Corn and seedy.
Sounds corny and seedy. But yes, indeedy, give me the simple life.
Yeah.
Well, one out of two, for that. Yeah. John, again, the subject is giving. In your case, the gift offered by the Dubarry.
Fjetel for tve, I synes han egal, doch.
Complete with monocle. Yes, why not? I thought you were going to do da dee da da dee dee da dee dee the high notes, but
you
didn't.
You know why I didn't sing it in English? I mean, I made up the German words, but you know why I didn't sing it in English? Because with Frank next door to you, you can't start singing a song which is I give my heart just to one man.
Two marks to you, because you got it right. Frank, giving again.
Give me a shady nook, give me a babbling brook, and yours I'm gonna be. If there's anyone in doubt, and they'd like to try me out, give me the moonlight. Give me the girl and leave the rest to me.
Yes. All right. Two marks for that, I think. Ian, you last. Give me a kiss. In song.
It really is happening this week, isn't it?
Yes.
Give me a little kiss, will you?
What have you got to lose, will you? Gosh, oh gee, why do you refuse? I can see what you've got to lose. Oh, give me a little squeeze, will you? Why do you want to make me blue? I wouldn't make a fuss if I was asking for the world, but what's a little kiss between a fella and his girl? Oh, give me a little kiss, will you? And I'll give it right back. I'll give it right back. I'll give it right back to you.
I thought Ian sounded terribly like Frankie Vaughan in places there.
more than Frankie Muir did.
Yeah.
Oh dear, Ian,
how you
do lower the tone of the proceedings. I thought you were going to sing One Kiss, One Man to Save It For. But no. Well, that's all I'm afraid for this edition of My Music. A victory by half a mark for Frank Muir and John Amos. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryer.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.